Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles this evening. Had an impression to touch on this evening in this particular way. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. I want to focus on this a little bit. Proverbs chapter 3, and looking at, starting at verse 1, actually. If you have your Bibles or your phones, let's read along. I'm going to read from the King James, starting from verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law," or you could say, "forget not my word, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they do what? Add to thee." That doesn't sound like sickness, does it? Sounds like health and prosperity. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon," where? "The table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." You see the theme here? I don't know. Today, it's just been kind of in my heart. Focus on the heart. Let's look at the heart here. And that seems to be the theme in these first few verses here of this chapter. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it" what? "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "My child," this is verse 1 through 10. It says, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart." Boy, I just like the way this is. Store them. You know how we go to the bank, we store money there, right? So this says, "Store my commands, store my words in your heart. If you do this," so this is conditional, "if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying." "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder." "Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." See, I like the way this reads in the New Living, because the first three verses, you know, if you're doing something, it says, "Then you will find favor." I like the way that reads. And then verse 5, 6, and 7 tell us to trust in the Lord and so forth. "Seek his will in all we do. Don't be impressed with your wisdom. Then, depart from evil. Then you will find healing for your body and strength for your bones." Then it talks about honoring the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. "Then he will fill your barns with grains, and your vats will overflow with good wine." So this here is conditional. But it also is focused on here, if you look at this, it's focused on our heart. So one of the things here I wanted to just highlight is his word is medicine. We know that from Proverbs 4. His word is medicine, and medicine will make you whole. I mean, even the doctors will tell you, if you take this medicine, it'll help you. So medicine will make you whole. His word is for everybody, and his will is to heal everybody. So his word is for everybody, and his word is to heal everybody. So if his word is for everybody, then healing is for everybody. If his word is for everybody, then healing is for everybody. If healing is not for everybody, then his word is not for everybody. So, you know, you just have to look at it that way. But his word is for everybody. And that means healing is for everybody. That's what his word says. For they are life unto those that find them, in health or medicine to all thy flesh. So let's turn over to Proverbs 4. We're in Proverbs 3, but let's jump over to Proverbs 4 and look at verse 20 through 23. Again, it talks about the heart. That's what it said in Proverbs 3. I like that. It said storing his commands in our hearts. Store his commands, or store my commands in your heart. That's what the New Living said. But Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, it says, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, or you could say store them, in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, in health, or you could say medicine, to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is the Amplified. It says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. So one of the things you could say is the condition of your heart affects your body. The condition of your heart affects your body. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, this says here that things that come from the heart defile the body. I believe that's what Matthew 13 says. Let's turn over there. I think that's what it says. Let's look at the end of Matthew 13. I believe, just check that. Maybe it's not Matthew 13. I thought it was. Somebody help me on that, but I think it's Matthew 13. No, Matthew 15. Sorry. Matthew 15 and verse 18. And his disciples, Peter is saying unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are ye yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter inneth the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So that means something that comes out of the heart. What does it say? Life and death comes from the heart, comes out of the mouth, comes from the heart. And it can either affect us one way or the other. So, as we say here, that the condition of the heart can affect the body. So let's say this. If I take, everybody there, everybody say this. If I take enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal me. Right. If I take enough of God's word, long enough, it will heal my body. It will heal something in my body. If I take the word of God, I keep thinking about, you know, when Warwick family was here for a number of years before they relocated to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Broken Arrow, and Ken Warwick and his wife Ada were here, and their children for many years. And of course, most of them have gone through Rhema Bible Training School. But I remember Jessica was here, just short little Jessica, and she's in her 20s now. She's now doing some more college work at ORU, Oral Roberts University. But for a period of time, she went through Rhema for a couple of years, 2 years or 3 years. I think it was three. And for two of those 3 years, her father, when we saw him a couple of years ago, he said Jessica went every day after her classes, which are from 8:30 to 12:30, she would go to prayer and healing school every day. And she had to wear an insulin pump that would pump insulin into her body because her organs, her pancreas weren't functioning properly, and it needed that assistance. So she had to wear a pump with insulin. And after 2 years, he said, her pancreas just started to work. They don't just start to work. But the word, if you get enough of God's word long enough, it will heal your body. It will cause life to come into organs that aren't functioning properly, and they'll start to work. But it takes enough of God's word. You've got to keep feeding on the word. You can't let it depart from thine eyes. You got to keep it in the midst of thine heart. You can't depart from it. You've got to keep thinking about it, meditating upon it. And those things, I don't care what the doctor says. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. I mean, doctors will say what they say. But God is greater than doctors. His word is greater than a diagnosis. Maybe you need to go to a doctor for a period of time to have some assistance to help you function properly. But that's not a sentence for you. His word, if you get enough of God's word long enough, it will change you. It will heal you. Hallelujah. It'll spark life into dead organs. It'll change things in our body. Hallelujah. Did it not change this dead, cold heart? Instantly changed it. So if the resurrection life can change my heart, it can change an organ. It can change something in my body. It can heal it. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And since he dwells in me, he quickens this mortal body. He gives life to it. Hallelujah. So this life, that's what we have to do. We have to find it. I like this. This is in the Strong's. It means to acquire. So in other words, it says here that it's life to those that find them. And health or medicine to all their flesh. That word find in the Strong's Concordance, that Hebrew word, it means to secure or to get or to learn. It says to keep after. So in other words, if you keep seeing it, if you keep hearing it, if you keep saying it, you'll find it. That means you keep after it. You keep seeing it, you keep saying it, you keep hearing it, right? That's what it said here. When you read this in the King James, it says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. So that means we've got to keep after it, keep seeing it, keep saying it. Amen. Amen. Some of these other translations... God's Word translation, it says, my son, pay attention to my words. Open your ears to what I say. Do not lose sight of these things. Keep them deep within your heart, because they're life to those that find them. They heal the whole body. Guard your heart more than anything else because the source of life flows from it. See, what happens is, you know, and of course, we've all been in these kind of conditions. Maybe various conditions, but we've all had symptoms come on our body one way or another, some more serious than others. And the minute you get a diagnosis, your mind is like, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you do. If you have to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep saying it. Let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Meditate upon it. Keep speaking it. If it takes whatever length of time, that's what we said. If I get enough of God's word long enough, it'll change my body. It has to. In the name of Jesus, it has to. Glory to God. Let me just read some other scriptures here that support all of this. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. New Living, it says, he spoke, they were healed, snatched from the door of death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. So what comes out of the heart affects the body. Another scripture verse here, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. The heart. So the word of God is alive and powerful. His word is full of life, and it's powerful. And if I get enough of that on the inside of me, it's going to change something. It's full of life. Full of resurrection life. So let's say that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive and powerful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some other scriptures. A merry heart. What does it say? A merry heart doeth good like what? A medicine. Hallelujah. It's health and medicine. A merry heart. That's why we have joy. Laugh. A merry heart, a merry heart. Doeth good like a medicine. Or it's, in some of them it says a cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, something I wanted to look at. Let's take a look. I want to look at Matthew 12. Just looking at this before I came out. So the condition of our heart is key. Guard your heart with all diligence. But looking at Matthew 12, and let's look at starting in verse 33 through 37. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned or judged. Let's take a quick look. I know I've been looking at this in some of our lessons, but let's go over to John 15 for a minute. Let's look at this again. John 15 and verses 4 through 7. We're talking about letting the word abide in us. It says here in verse 4, chapter 15, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." Would that fruit be healing? I think so.
Yes.
Would be healing. So healing's not possible unless you abide in him. And it says, abide in me and I in you. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So healing's not possible without him. Without what? The word. That's why I say, if you get enough of God's word long enough, it'll change your body. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, see this? Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Ye shall ask what you will. Where does faith come? You know, it's interesting here. If you look at these verses from 4 to 7, nowhere in there is any reference to the word faith or believe, is it? Nothing. It just says here, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, where does faith come from? Faith comes from the word. So if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you're going to ask what his will is. You're going to have confidence because you know what the word of God, what his will is. So this says here, if you ask for anything, right, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Does that sound like healing? Sounds like healing to me. What is 1 John 5:14 and 15? And this is the confidence, right? This is the assurance or the persuasion that we have that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, verse 15, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So that means that if I'm asking something that's according to his will, then he hears me. Well, here, this is saying here, if I abide in him and his word abides in me, I ask what I will. I'm not going to ask him something that's not his will. And I'm going to ask him with confidence. I'm going to be absolutely convinced that the word of God is changing my body. See, the problem is, what does it say? Set not your affections on things above, but on things, or things not on this earth, but things above. Yeah, let's turn over a second. I'm just thinking about this scripture here. Let's come over to Romans 8. Let's look at chapter 8, Romans. And put these in my notes, but they just keep thinking about them here. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life. That word life is zoe. That's the life of God. And what? And peace. So if I'm spiritually minded, then His word is in me. I'm thinking about His word. I'm talking about His word. I'm speaking His word. I'm meditating on it. I've got my mind on that. I've got my attention fixed on that and not the things of the conditions, right? Doesn't mean that the conditions don't exist. I think the thing is, what's silly is we don't say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. It didn't ever say we call those things that are as though they're not. It says faith calls those things that be not as though they are. So I'm to call something that isn't. What is it that might not be in your body? Health and healing. So I call that which isn't. I don't say that I'm not sick. Because that's what is. You know, sometimes people just take the word out of and do things that's not scriptural. I hear people do it all the time. I'm not sick. I don't believe that. There's nothing wrong with saying I have these symptoms in my body, but I believe that the healing power of God is working in my body, driving it out, correcting it. There's nothing wrong with that. Because that is the truth. There may be this symptom in my body, but the power of God is greater than it, and it's working in my body now, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. It's working in me. The resurrection life of God is working in me. It's working in me. So let's continue. Let me go down here. So it says in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What other scripture comes to mind that says, how do we please God? By what? By faith. Hebrews 11:6. So that means if I'm in the Spirit, if I walk by the Spirit, that means I'm not carnally minded, I'm spiritually minded. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what pleases God. So to be spiritually minded means I'm operating in faith. That pleases God. Amen. Glory to God. And then this continues, so that they, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why I love hearing, and every now and then I'll read that story about the Shining One. They actually call it the Shining Ones Movement, which was in Rwanda in the 30s. And you just go and Google that and read that story. It's a tremendous story about this tribe in Africa that it basically said that anything that was not holy, it repulsed them. And they got closer and closer to God. And what ended up happening is transfiguration happened in their bodies. And they began to glow and shine. They said this actually happened over a period of time. Didn't happen over a week or two, but a number of years. And they began to shine and glow. I remember Brother Hagin talking about this, that he said there were a few times in his ministry where he was ministering, and he said somebody said to him after the service, "Your skin shined and glowed." I mean, I believe that the power of God and the Spirit of God can come in such a measure, such a degree, that it'll shine through us. Amen. Where's the Spirit of God? Where's the Spirit of holiness? It's in us. It's in your spirit. That's why it's important to guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Proverbs 12. Let's take a look at this. Proverbs chapter 12. That's why I have a healing tape. I don't know. I just do it. I put it on and I listen to it. Whether I'm riding up and down the road, I just have a healing tape on. It feeds the spirit so that we can walk in what? It's not that we're trying to push out some symptom maybe out of the body, but I'm going to walk in divine health. I'm going to walk such that sickness and disease can't come here and stay here. And if it tries to touch my body, it ain't staying long. Proverbs 12, verse 13. It says, "The wicked is snared by what? The transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." And verse 14, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him." That just really means hard work brings you rewards. You know, you work hard, there's a reward in that, right? There's a benefit. The New Living Translation, it says, "The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. Wise word brings many benefits." So again, keep your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I'm going to keep feeding on things that bring fruit and abundance in my life, whether that's health and healing, which we're talking about, but that can pertain to any portion, any part of our lives. Any part. Proverbs 12, and we're in the same chapter. Look at verse 18. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health." The tongue of the wise is health. What does that mean? It means you keep, let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. Whatever's in your heart, you're going to speak. The Good News Translation, it says, "Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as a sword, but wisely spoken words can heal." Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 24, it says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones." See, this is talking about words. Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and healing for the body." The New Living, it says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, and healthy for the body." So we can see here that, you know, I was sharing something Sunday. I'm kind of going to pick up here again on this Sunday, talking about the subject of faith. But Brother Hagin was teaching this. This is years ago in his ministry. And he was here at this particular church for a while, teaching on the subject of faith and healing. And this, I guess this pastor asked him, how's this woman doing? Is she doing any better? And Brother Hagin's answer was, no. And he said, the reason why is she hasn't gotten the whine out of her voice. And it stopped me, and I went and looked up that word whine, or whining. And the primary definition of whining is complaining. Or you could look at some other synonyms. It means to bellyache. It means to fuss. It means to moan. It just means to complain. There's no faith in that. If you're just griping and complaining about something that's going on in your body, there's no faith in that. Ah, this old back, this thing here, you know, blah, 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 blah. And what ends up happening, you see this with people that have a sickness or a disease for some extended period of time, they get discouraged. And in that discouragement, they can start complaining. And they may have started out in faith. I've got this. But then when things don't appear to change, they get discouraged. And they can get over into complaining. And there's no faith. But we who are ministering to people, we need to find out where we can connect. I remember a story that Pastor Keith Moore shared years ago. He was sharing about when he was very young. He said this mother in the church where he was sick, dying of cancer. And she was, you know, she knew the word. And he was, you know, as he said, I was just this young little kid, you know, going there. She was over the youth group. And so he'd go there and start sharing the word. And she'd say, I know that. I know that. You know, like this. I know that, young little boy. I know that. And he said, I wasn't making a connection. I wasn't connecting with her heart. She knew that. So there was no faith in that. Even though he was sharing the word, there was no, she wasn't connecting with the word. It wasn't it having an impact on her. And so finally he said, you know, he pursued. He kept going to see her. And finally he said, one day he was there and he said, you know, mother so-and-so, he said, have you, he just kind of backed up and didn't kind of teach and share a word with her and so forth. He said, mother so-and-so, he said, are you satisfied? Have you done everything you want to do before you go? And she said, well, no, not really. And he said, aha. So he began to probe that. And he began to find where he could make a connection with this woman. And he said, she began to a little glimmer in her eye and a little sparkle. And he said, I got a connection. I got something. And he said, well, we need you. We need you. Us young kids need you. She said, you do? Yes, we need you. Why are you in this bed sick? You need to get up and come on and be a blessing to us. And he said, that little bit just caused this fire to get instilled in her. And he said, within like about a week or two, she's up out of the bed, healed of cancer. See, so the heart had gotten discouraged. But that's what this is saying here. Isn't that what this is saying here? It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So what he spoke was pleasant, and it caused her to kind of, I'm going to finish up my work here. And he said after he had left that church and gone to Rhema, this was when he was very young, he said she was still busy in her 80s, still working for the Lord with the young kids. So it's important that we keep the word of God in our hearts, keep it in our minds, and we speak it and we meditate on it and feed on it. Get a tape and feed on that, on those healing scriptures. That's important, because out of the abundance of the heart, or what you treasure up in your heart, is key, right? You may not need it right now, but at some point, when there's some pressure, what did Pastor Sarah always used to say? What comes out of a tube of toothpaste when you squeeze it? What you got in it? What you put in it, right? So when the squeeze is on, what's going to come out of your heart is what you put in it. Amen. So you might not be being squeezed right now. You might not be squeezed in your body. But boy, I'll tell you, when the squeeze is on, you better know what you're going to do in this situation. Right? So what's the devil's plan is to kill and to steal and to what? To destroy. But he's come to do what? Give us life and life more abundantly. So let's go back here. I want us to read this again here. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. This is really important. In verse 1 through 10, it says, "My son, forget not my law." That means what? That means you don't just read it when you need to read it, or when you got a problem, or there's an issue. That means just, this is a constant thing, right? Let it not depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. What does it say? Let thine heart keep his commandments. Or the New Living says, store my commands in your heart for length of days, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. How do you write something on your heart? With your mouth. Saying it. Write it on the table of thy heart. That means you're speaking it. You're saying it. I am this. I am this. I am the healed. I am the whole. You begin to say things. I remember, you know, some of the stories when I first became a Christian. I started going to the Kenneth Copeland meetings. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I remember Charles Capps was a primary, you know, he was one of the teachers that would, you know, come to the Kenneth Copeland meetings. And I remember him saying that he liked to hunt and fish. He'd be out in the woods. And he said, you know, invariably, you're around in among trees. And he said, I'd get poison ivy. And he said it was just, you know, he had to deal with it. But he said, I began to learn the word of God. I just became, you know, knowledgeable of the word of faith. And he said, I began to read in the word of God about health for my body. And he said, I began to say, he said, I would get the calamine lotion and slather it all over me, you know, and he said it would take whatever period of time to get rid of that poison ivy. But he said, I began to speak with my mouth that the healing power of God was at work in my body. Every tissue and every cell operates in the function God created it to function in. And he began to say, I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. And he began to do that, and he said over about a period of 6 months to a year, he said the next time he went out into the woods, he said he began and he took the tree of poison ivy and he just grabbed it and stripped it right down off of the bark with his bare hands, and he said it never affected him. Why? Because he got enough of the word of God. What is it? What do we say? If you get enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal your body. Why? It's the resurrection life of God. It's impregnated. It's full of life. What do we say? The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's full of life. Zoe life. So if you get enough of God's word in your body, it's got to change. Anybody read the stories of John G. Lake? Some of you may. back in the, I think is maybe somebody could help me, it was the early 1900s, somewhere in that time frame. He was a missionary to Africa, and he said they had the bubonic plague. He said he had the life of Christ in him. He said that they had reporters from the United States come and follow him and report on him. And he said, put that bloody flux in my hand. It was full of this plague. He put it in his hand, and then they took the sample of that and looked at it under a microscope. And they said the cells of this disease were dying because it had come in contact with life, the resurrection life of God. I'm not suggesting we do that, but he was convinced, persuaded that the life of God coursed through him. And that it wasn't going to affect him in any way. So I'm going to read this here, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's what we're talking about, speaking, confessing. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding or your own intellect. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is what we're talking about here. I like this. It says, in the New Living Translation, it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Oh, I like that. He'll show you which path to take. Got to acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and all thy ways. Acknowledge him. He'll direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Hallelujah. Health to my body, marrow. Health. What does it say? Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Strength and healing to my body. So let's say that if I get enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal my body. It'll change my body. It'll correct a condition in my body. It has to. It has to. You don't have to live with heart problems. You don't have to live with diabetes. You don't have to live with tumors in your body. You may need some help, but I'm telling you, if you get enough of God's word, his divine eternal word, and you meditate on it and feed it and write it on the table of your heart, it will drive it out of your body. It is not a sentence, a lifetime sentence for you. So many people say, well, I've got this condition, I have to live with it. No, you do not. No, you do not. You do not have to live with that. You may have to, you know, follow the director's, the doctor's instructions. That's fine. Do that. But then you keep feeding on the word. What does it say here? Write it upon the table of your heart. That means all the time, day in, day out, night time, daytime. I remember Mrs. Hagen. I mean, I fell on my tailbone once, and I'll tell you, it is not a pleasant experience. I fell down some steel stairs here on this job, on here. Anybody who's going upstairs to turn the lights on, we got steel stairs going up, I don't know, 30 or 40 stairs from the top to the bottom. Boom, 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 boom. All the way on my backside. And I didn't break anything, thank God, but I sure was sore. And I immediately, and I was dizzy and woozy, and I began to confess the word of God. I mean, instant. But I'm going to tell you, you know, Mrs. Hagen, she fell on her tailbone. She said the pain was excruciating. And the doctors gave her whatever the strongest pain medication you could take. And after that, the doctor, she said, she shared this at Winter Bible Seminar a few years ago. She said the doctors told her, you're going to have to live with it. There's nothing we can do. It's all we can do. This is it. Go home, deal with it. That was it. And she said, her and her husband, Pastor Hagen, got an agreement. And he said to her, you say with your mouth, the healing power of God is at work in my body, effecting a healing and a cure. Amen. And she said, if I said that once, I said it hundreds of times a day. Not a few times, hundreds of times a day. And she said, after about 3 months, the pain began to go away. It didn't happen over a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It took time. And she kept saying the word, saying the word, saying the word, saying it, writing it, saying it. And it changed. It has to change. It must change. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What does the scripture say? Let's go to Hebrews 10. Let's take a quick look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 22 and 23. It says, let us draw near with what? A true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, what? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. What does Titus 1:2 say? He says, he changes not. Or no, he says he lies not. Isn't that what it says? It says he cannot lie. Right. Malachi says he changes not. But Titus, it says, which God that cannot lie promised. He's faithful that promised. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He cannot change. That means the word cannot change. If he can't change, and he is the word, and God can't change, and in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, that means the word can't change. That means if I keep speaking it, that means it has to change my body. It has to change what's going on inside of me. It has to change it. It must. Glory to God. So if I keep feeding on the word, if I get enough of God's word long enough, it changes my body. The condition of my heart affects my body. What changes the condition of my heart? What changes doubt and unbelief? The word does. So that changes the condition of my heart. It renews my mind, and it changes the condition of my heart. It affects my body. I'm convinced and persuaded that change is happening in my body, even when I can't see it. What does faith say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I desire to be healed. But just desiring to be healed, desire has no substance. See, that's the problem. People want to be healed. They desire to be healed. But there's no substance in that. What does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to that which you hope for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Glory to God. So, again, his word is life unto those that find them and health and medicine to all our flesh. I keep roaming around here because the more we meditate on this, the more we speak it, the more we say it, the more confidence I have, I can begin to laugh at the symptoms. I can begin to, what is it? A joyful heart, a merry heart, do with good like a medicine. Sometimes we need to just laugh. Make ourselves laugh at the symptoms. I didn't say it was a happy time. I didn't say you felt good, but you just forced yourself to go ahead and laugh. Ha, ha, ha. This is ha, ha, ha time. You just got to make yourself laugh. And I'll tell you what will happen. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's tangible. It's medicine to our flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know why I'm talking about this way tonight, but I tell you, the more you keep meditating on it, the more you keep feeding upon it, don't put the word down. When you get tired of hearing it, put it in again anyways. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. And at some point, there'll be a change. Sometimes people have lived with conditions in their body for years, and they've become complacent. You know, well, we just have to live with this. This is the way it is. And they've become complacent with conditions in their body. Don't become complacent. Don't become complacent with something. The word will change it. It'll change it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's say that. The word of God is working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in every cell and every organ of my body. I resist and forbid sickness and disease in my body. I am strong in the Lord. I have health and healing in my bones. I have health and healing in my flesh. I'm strong. I'm whole. I'm healed. The life of Christ is healing my body. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the more we speak the word, you change the atmosphere. You change the atmosphere and a condition. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done for now. Amen. Praise the Lord.